Dear Father and our God, we worship you tonight, Lord. What a great privilege it is, Lord. Many parts of the world, they can't, how do we even turn it after that, you know? They don't have the freedom in many parts. Where they have the freedom that so much, the end of the age thing, the sorrow, the trouble, the tribulation, all these things, and so much like that, you know? But by the grace of God, while we still have the opportunity, we are able to gather together. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship and we adore you, Lord. And God, we pray that this liberty will still continue to extend across the world so your church can gather together for the last time. And the Holy Ghost begins to rally the church for the last revival in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we are joyful that we are here tonight together in fellowship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for our singing, and we know you saw our prayers in the golden fire. You inhabit our praises. You live in us, and we walk in them, and we walk in them. What great delay is the mystery of godliness. Oh, the simplicity of the Lord Jesus. He is in us, the God of glory lives in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we read the scripture tonight, Lord, let there be a blessing left for us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We move forward tonight in this our series. You know, because we are living at the time of the end of the age. We can see why just before Sodom was destroyed, Abraham, the type of the letter of that day, God visited him life and showed him all these things, the type of what happened at the end of the age. Before you know it now, this war, a time of trouble, as has never been since the world began, will soon happen upon the face of this, according to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God has been telling his elect all over the world. He knows, like he said, I know Abraham, he will teach his children my way. So we also, because Abraham was praying, so we don't just say this thing, we put it in our daily prayer. Amen. That his kingdom will come. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we have to continue to say this thing to remind ourselves all the time, and to keep us in our knees, because the day of the hour, we don't know when the Lord does come. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to round up that first 3.5 years of the reign of the Antichrist. So the end of the first 3.5 years of the Antichrist reign. That's the first 29, the end of the 3.5 years as well. So again, 3.5 years have gone by since the Antichrist made his covenant with Israel. Continuing our series now. The Antichrist has dominated the scene. We're just walking in the future, right? We're walking in the future, amen? But the future is immediate. It's so close. Praise God. We are seeing that he has made a covenant with Israel. 3.5 years has passed since he made that covenant. So the Antichrist has dominated the scene and has kept things under his control. The situation seemingly has turned out better than was expected in the eye of the world. See? Europe as a whole will be prepared to tolerate a strong man at the end of our affairs. See? The nations now feel a sense of security, so to say. Albeit a false security. Praise God. This is the immediate future, you know? So they feel a sense of security, but albeit a false security. Indeed, the quiet is a hush before the battle. The calm before the storm. See, that 3.5 years of peace. That was going to be, you know. The worst storm the world will ever witness is brewing, and it's about to break in all its fury after 3.5 years when he revealed himself, who the true character that he is, and all that, you know. So we're going to make a summary of the past couple of Wednesdays and all that, you know, about this 3.5 years and so on. So the summary of the circumstances which have caused the nations to feel a sense of security. Here are the issues and where they think they are safe now. Now, number one, that the Israel problem will seem to have been solved. No, 3.5 years. If you look like that, where today, of course, even right now, the most difficult problem the world faces is that of Israel. All the time, for decades ago. From Menachem Begin and backward, peace with our Sadat, all of them coming to make all of this. I'll show you. So anyway, and this is even Bible fulfillment is you know, Bible prophecy, you know, be fulfilled right before our eyes. Zechariah the prophet said in Zechariah 12:2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. We have all been living over the decades, right? Ever since Israel became a nation, it has been so. So Zechariah 12:2 is where that is, and so on. Day by day, even today, all this are happening and so before our eyes and so on. You know? Political analysts and experts have repeated again and again that the situation in the Middle East seems insolvable. That's what the conclusion. That's a conclusion. I mean, they've like I said, I mentioned a few of them. You know, again, they carry the map, you know, to White House. Praise God. I said Judea and Samaria. I mean, that's West Bank. It's Judea and Samaria, and it's right. You know, praise God. It was right. Anyway, so we see this is unsolvable. The interests of the two sides of this trouble in the Middle East seem irreconcilable. See? That's what it's looking like to man. Of course, it is irreconcilable. The only possible solution would be for some power that is strong enough to force a solution to match them, you know. The Antichrist will be that man who will do it from all the future we know. He will lay out a plan and demand that his decrees be obeyed. We do it. The parties involved, we have no choice but to comply with his will. Remarkably enough, the solution will seem to favor Israel. See, it will seem because you know, it looks like that, as well as you know. So the U.S. is a friend of Israel. U.S. instead will see no reason for being against the Antichrist plan because it's to be favoring Israel. So they will say, we're our friend. Well, okay. It will find some solution that will pacify the Arabs, although it will probably not satisfy them, but they will have no choice either except to go along with it, you know. See, he's a satanic genius, right? He will do all this according to the Bible and so on, you know. So anyway, number two, talking about the circumstances that give the world this false hope. Can you imagine, decade upon decade, try to solve this Israeli and the Arab problem? All of a sudden it was solved. Similarly, I mean, can you imagine what it means? So you see, now, number two, this thing that gives the world a sense of false security. Number two, agreement with Russia. I mean, Europe and Russia, I mean, all this, I mean, ever since, right? It's a threat to Europe, all along, as you know. Like we said before, he worked with Russia, right? And even at that time too, even Europe have a little bit of peace in themselves. That this thing is checkmated, right? This Russia, this beer for the North Atlantic. So agreement with Russia. In the settlement with Russia, the Antichrist will probably make concessions and will work out some kind of agreement in which he and Russia will share the spheres of influence. Because Russia won't give up everything like that, you know. The closest of the North won't do it, and something like that, you know. So this agreement will continue for a time. Although, in the end, the clay and iron of Nebuchadnezzar's image will not mix. We know that from the Bible. The future break of the beast power will no doubt lead to Armageddon. We know that. That is the end game, according to the scriptures, you know. But for the time being, there will be agreement. See? So they will sit on the same table and lie to each other, right? So it will happen. Now, this rapprochement will cause, you know, mixed emotions here in America. When they see this power working with Russia, you know, they mix emotions. At first, she will be pleased that a strong power has risen in Europe to offset the power of the communist Russia. They call this a sacral system, right? So now you can yes, you say, okay, well, that's the power now. We have been fighting the Europe war all these years. So we are fighting with World War II, we went there, it didn't concern us, we went there and liberated Europe. So this man now sort of checkmated you know, Russia. Maybe there's a little bit of peace here, you know. Yes, we think that way, you know. So we can it will probably cause the same fear to arise as was the case in World War II, when Hitler and Stalin suddenly came to an agreement. And even an event which bring about World War II, that the apprehension to the U.S. even concerning this evil power, some of that, you know. Apparently, the agreement with Russia will calm the fears of the masses of Europe, like I said before, you know, and Asia too. And they will look upon it as a good omen, not knowing what is coming, you know, and not realizing the true direction that event will carry them to. So initially, the first 3.5 years, we look like that and something like that, you know. Number three, the Antichrist will put down anarchy temporarily, you know. So that why they have a set of false security in the world. That's why I'm listening to this thing. You know? The Antichrist will be the lawless one. See? Yet, he will tolerate no challenging of his authority. He will be a dictator in every sense of the word. Yes, he is the lawless one too. And he won't permit anybody to interfere with his affairs. You know? Now, protectors, Antichrist, revolutionaries, you know, opponents of the regime will be dealt with so sternly that others will be discouraged. Don't forget that of the 10 kingdoms, right? Kings that rise against him, just crush them, right? The other just fall in line, you know. So now, in fact, any opposition will be forced to go underground, but there will be little chance for an underground in the computer, the Big Brother, right? There will be no true underground, right? So, modern science has given the Antichrist such tools as the computer, which make it possible for its henchmen to be able to keep track of every individual within the bounds of his kingdom. See, we went through that before, you know. The scriptures explicitly state that a special mark will be given every person to identify him and to show whether or not he is a lawyer. It's that to the state of the beast system and things like that, you know. So on the whole, the people who have experienced years of turmoil, I mean, because like we are seeing right now, disorders and the uprisings, we welcome a regime that will be able to enforce the law and order. Anarchy has set almost everywhere, you know. So this might just rise and that a little bit of quietness, right? So they will acknowledge him. They will not be too particular to consider where it will lead. Just for now, we have some, I don't know, a breathing space, right? So they don't know where it is going to lead. Number four, why the world will feel a sense of false security. The Antichrist will solve economic problems, which is common to every nation in the world. Name that nation that doesn't have economic problems today. U.S. has its own. Every peer. So can you imagine what they're doing? Overnight, they solve this problem. Can you imagine how they will have a sense of for security? Anyway, so we see civilization as it now constituted depends on economic stability. That's right. Every nation. In previous generations, when hard times come, what do? The people could fall back to the land, to the farms. I grew up in the farms myself, you know. So, but where are the farms today, you know? That's the problem now. So you see, they could grow all the food they wanted and could get along until times got better again. So that's what they did in the past generations, right? And you know, when I was growing up in the farm, we hardly buy anything. We grow everything. We grow beans, we grow cassava, we grow plantains, we grow, of course, yam is our major staple food, you know, vegetables and everything. We hardly buy anything, maybe some meat once in a while. Even the meat, we set trap. You know, cut, you know, grass, cut and things like that, you know. Virtually everything is provided, you know. And the past generation, they did that and so on. When there's trouble, they go back to the land and so on, you know. So, but what's happening today now? All those have changed right now. The economic situation of the nations has radically changed, you know. So, and most people now live in the cities, right? So, who is living in the farm? Even in my village, they started the village, the farm, you know. They want to come to Lagos, you know. I don't know what they are doing right now, you know. Oh, come to Lagos, you know. So, we should have cocoa farms, right, you know. And where are the cocoa farms, you know? So, anyway, so the small farmers can no longer compete with the big corporations. They are part to leave. I mean, they have to leave the farm because it's a big corporation. Again, back in my elementary days, maybe you and all of us here, in our elementary geography, right, of Nigeria. Mm-hmm. But in the north, the canoe pyramid of granite, right? Where are they? The Bende rubber, where is it? The eastern region, palm oil, whatever I fast, where is it? The cocoa fast of West, where is it? Where are they? They are gone. They now they all flow to the oil something, you know, to Lagos and so where are all those things and so on and that, you know. Many nations are like that, you know. And you know, look at the oil now went to the lowest. In fact, it went to negative value about 3 months ago.
Wow.
Oil value, oil, you know, went to the negative value and some of that, you know. Not did anything. And they are even borrowing, trying to borrow money again in Nigeria. So we are saying that all nations are facing economic problems, right? And this man just came over now and has like a solution for solution. So can you see how they are going to offer a false security, right? So now people are now dependent on their paychecks. For the next week survival. No more farming, no more anything like that, you know. Most of the people work in factories, offices, or stores, or in the big corporations. So a serious depression, throwing large numbers out of work, as was the case of the 30s, will soon arise again in the world. You know, the 1929 crash, and to the early 30s, you know, will come again, you know. So, but this time around, it will be devastating in the heart of a dictator, you know. So now, that will cause extreme hardship with riots and the disorders of the most serious kind. Even in this country today, you know, when they are doing all these things they are doing about the helping the people, if you don't do it, it will be great rioting, you know. We have to just keep on praying. When you don't have work and things like that, you know. That's why they are doing all these things. Government start to issue money and things because it's really chaos and rioting, you know. So that's one of the reasons why when this wicked man arises, magically seems to be able to solve economic problems, the world will feel a false security, you know. So the reason, one of the economic, is one of the reasons why they will feel that way. Of course, Daniel told us that it will cause craft to prosper, right? Daniel 8:25, so. This is an extremely vital matter to the masses, the economic aspect of life, right? So it has been proved that a man with a starving family will, if necessary, exchange his liberty for bread. It's a common thing, you know. See, when the family can't feed anything, you know, they can exchange his liberty for bread, you know. Even in the Bible, Esau was hungry, right? He didn't even know the value of a birthright. Just for a pot of porridge, you know. Can you imagine? Even it's in the Bible too, you know. So nations can be like that too, you know. And if you do that, so this thing that's happening at the end of the age, you know. So anyway, so the European Economic Community, called EEC, right, was a regional organization that aimed to bring about economic integration among the member states. So we know in 1957 they begin by 6 states, what they call the Rome Agreement, you know. I think there are 6 of them, Rome, Italy, 6 of them, sir. They formed the what they call the European Economic Community and things like that, you know. Now, it was created by the Treaty of Rome in 1957. Upon the formation of the European Union, EU, in 1993, the EEC was incorporated and renamed the European Community, called EC. 2009 came, the EC institutions were absorbed into the EU, okay, you know, with a wider framework, and the community ceased to exist. So what am I saying? So this European Union is a framework, undoubtedly, upon which the Antichrist will operate. So yeah, they have the common market, like I said before, 57, and they keep changing, but they are still together. Why? In fear of Russia all these years, they want to be together because of Russia and things like that. NATO was formed because of Russia, right? To prevent the Western Europe and things like that, you know. So anyway, these are the reasons why, you know, they feel a sense of false security. Number another reason is this. The Antichrist will play for the cooperation of the Roman Catholic Church. The big religion in India, you know. The Antichrist, in his rise to power, will not be against religion initially. He will feign, meaning he will pretend to be his friend. He will be, he will be ecumenical and will call for a united church, an amalgamation or accommodation of the Catholic and the Protestant bodies. That's already been happening decades ago. Behind the background, it's happening all that. Happening today, you know. And so, anyway, so as we have seen, The World Council of Churches has advanced far in the direction of a united Protestant church. That is even very, very glad in this day. The Roman Catholic Church, after some far-reaching changes, has already made certain overtures for what they call a return to the separated brethren. They call the Protestants their brethren, right? You know, well, she is the mother of Allos, right? So we see that one happening. So the Antichrist will work with that. Revelation 17 shows a united Christendom. We accept the patronage of the Antichrist. So the Bible tells us that. The harlot woman, as Babylon the Great, rides the beast and enjoys its protection temporarily, you know. And this time he will turn against her, right? Now, the Antichrist will feign friendship with the church during the fourth half of his reign. And when he starts to consolidate his power, so we feign, pretend as if to be the friend of the church. And the nominal church, unaware of his hidden agenda, is led into a steel trap from which it will be unable to extricate itself. The trap, you know. So, like the salmon, the spider's web, right? Praise God. Anyway, now, the hour will come when the Antichrist will turn against the church and order it destroyed, even as Hitler did the Jews. You know, this will occur towards the end of his reign. So we know that. In the meantime, he shows himself as a friend of the church, and indeed, by this means, succeeds in securing the confidence of the masses. Another reason why this world felt a sense of false security is that the Antichrist will show himself a military genius. This is somebody of what I've been talking about in the last couple of weeks. He will show himself a military genius. As you have seen, not all nations will bow under the Antichrist's way. You know, like a lightning concrete, it will crush the opposition. And the Antichrist will appear as a master military strategist. Who can make war with the beast will be the cry of the nation, the Bible says. Who can make war with him? You know? So, and the communist nations will take notice for a time. There will be an uneasy peace. Though the pot will be boiling underneath, you know. So, those 3.5 years and so on, that, you know. Now, so these are the things that will keep the world to think that they have a security. We know it is a false one. How about other events around the world? Well, here in the U.S., many will witness this development in Europe and with foreboding, like we said before. Many, of course, will lean toward socialism or dream of a world government, and we eagerly approve all as they see the clay of communism and the iron of fascism reach an understanding here in the U.S. We have mixed emotions here, you know. They will believe that the tensions of the world are eased, you know, that their crusade of world government has borne fruit. See, that was going to happen. But others who see such enormous power being concentrated in the hands of one man, see, can only foresee grave trouble ahead, you know. Some will see that, you know. So just working in the future, albeit in the near future, working to the near future, right? What will happen in this world? Enough people in the U.S. are familiar with the scriptures to spread dire warnings of the nation of these Europe dictators. Yeah, there are some of them here who will warn the people about this personality and so on. He is labeled in no certain time as the Antichrist. They be so bold, they will call, hey, this is the Antichrist, they will declare it so. They see in him another Adolf Hitler, who instead of seeking to exterminate only the Jews, will throw off his mask at the appointed time, and will seek to enslave the world, and that all those who resist him will be ruthlessly liquidated. Some will see him that way, you know. Others will be deceived, you know. Others who are ignorant of the scriptures or who do not take Bible seriously will consider these persons who are warning against this wicked man as doomsday prophets. They will say, ah, they are doomsday prophets, right? You know, and they will deride their fears, you know. So mixed emotion here in the US at that time, you know. Now, their complacency, however, will not be shared by the whole nation. Events have taken an apocalyptic nature at this time, and a growing sense of fear and foreboding will occupy the minds of all except the most optimistic at that time, you know. So false prophets will arise as they did in the days of Jeremiah to predict peace. That is in all Jeremiah 28. You know, from Jeremiah said, look, you are going to captivity. And so, in fact, you are in captivity. There came one prophet. He said, you know what? In 2 years, they will all come back, you know. And I think, I know, they will come back and something like that, you know. He took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah and broke it, you know. And he said, so in 2 years, just said the Lord, you know. Jeremiah said, okay, so be it. Okay, he just went his way and so on. As he was going, they just said, go back to him. Go say, thus said the Lord, you know. So, of course, he said, look, they will not come back. And you so confident you are going to die in this year, you know. And he lied, you know. So there are many false prophets at that time, you know, even now, at that time. So the same thing as of Jeremiah and so on. There will be no sword. There will be no famine. So, see, you know what I'm talking about, you know. Praise the Lord. Amen, see. So anyway, we are looking at the immediate future, and so that we keep on our spiritual toes. The Lord loves us, is why He revealed all these things to us, why the whole world is getting deceived, you know. So, so we see that one in India. So, many false prophets will come at that time, and so on. Anyway, so now, false prophets will arise, like I said before, like this Jeremiah, even the Lord Himself. You know, said this in Luke 21:25 about this sign of the world and so on. And there shall be signs in the sun. That is Luke 21:25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations. It's already happening right now. You know, with perplexity, the sea and the waves running. Men's hearts filling them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the path of heaven shall be shaken. So the Lord even put in His own word there for the time we are living in now, in the immediate future. Of course, and for the peaceniks who are prophesying peace, right? What's going to happen to them is this. You know, we are saying peace, and so on. The Bible has a word for them too, you know. The Bible called the end from the beginning, and so you know the people will arise, you know, and the Bible has warned its children through the scriptures in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. This peacenik, right? Who are saying peace? And for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Only the elect will escape, right? You know, Bible says, what is it there for? And I can't say the word to escape all these things, see? But the peaceniks who are saying peace, when the God said there will be war and out, you know, so Bible says, they won't escape. So now what's going to happen to them? Now, the believer who knows the Bible, while sharing with others the anxieties and apprehensions, we understand by the prophecies that these things must come to pass. There is no point praying that, Lord, let there be no Armageddon. Doesn't make sense, right? No, because that is impossible. They already know there are conditional prophecies, and they know there are unconditional prophecies, right? The true elect of God know that, right? So, anyway, you know that, so that Abraham, they will pray and intercede, but they know there are something that cannot be changed, really, you know? Just for God to take his people out of the system. That's what they will be praying about and praying for, you know. So anyway, so they understand that by prophet that these things must surely come to pass. The true believer has been warned by the Lord. Again, in Luke 21:28, that when this thing begins to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28. How many times God's children? This day of internet, all kinds of things are going on in the internet. People are so fearful, and as Christians, it ought not to be so, brethren. Praise the Lord. These things must need be, but your portion is different as a child of the living God. Amen. The Lord warned us over and over. Let not your heart be troubled. Even John 14. Let you be afraid. Praise the Lord. So let us keep the word of the Lord. The rapture of the first fruits will certainly make a great stir among Christendom, which in general is not ready for the coming of the bridegroom. See, those who are left behind. See? So it will be a great start to them. So now, in closing us tonight, so we're just walking through the summary of that 40 and a half years. You see right there, he put the rapture right there in the middle. See? At the end of the 40 and a half years. That's of the church and some of that, you know. So anyway, now there are two powerful trends that will affect this country at that time. Let me talk about the terrible one first, then the good one. Praise the Lord. Let's say the good for the last. Praise the Lord. Number one, of these two trends is this. A trend of deepening apostasy will take a hold. It's already there anyway. It's already here. The theory of Darwinian evolution, which is Satan's masterpiece, which teaches that all mankind, even including Christ, has descended from the brute beast, flatly denying his Bible account of creation, and that man was created in the image of God. They will deny all that work. So this is the trend and it become more prominent today and in days to come. It will be the hour of gross delusion. In the confusion, every kind of deceptive teaching will appear to draw away disciples from the church. The significance of this teaching of evolution is this, upon the youth in particular. You know, in Russia, when they came there, you see, now, all the old people and so on, they don't bother them about their religion, but they prevent the youth from getting anything or having to do with religion or God. See, because they know the children are the future, right? The same thing is happening here in our own country here, in the US here, and things like that, you know. So anyway, so it will affect the youth. It's affecting the youth today badly more than we think. For example, if men are descendants of the brute beast, then the Bible account of creation becomes a myth to the children of today, right? Its warnings of divine judgment will be false, right? That is the lie of the devil, right? That's how he brought that doctrine to the world, to this world. The promise of an afterlife is all a delusion, according to that evolutionary theory, right? The cry is, let us eat and drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. See? That is the lie they were brought with the Darwin evolution, things like that, you know. The teaching going forth from modernist pulpits are in accord with this same philosophy and so on, you know. And the Bible foretold all these things in 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the law that bought them, and bring upon themselves sweet destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And we know of his truth. The Laodicean Church will include many of these false teachers who will bring in their damnable heresies, even promoters of Christian atheism, put forth a theory that they call God is dead. I never knew when I become a Christian, which will sing a song, "You cannot tell me God is dead, I spoke to him this morning. You cannot tell me God is dead, he's living in my heart." So there was even actually a theory of atheism that said God is dead. It's a theory that they put up for over the year, the atheists, and all that, you know. So, and you see alive today, that evil thing. No wonder the Lord answered there. You know, when in Genesis, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I like the way what the Lord says, I'm he that liveth, but was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I always like why I put the liveth forth. The dead was the past tense, right? Behold, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. So that, you know, that it be a theory like that, that God is dead, you know. So that in the Antichrist era, this will revive like no other time in the history of the world. See? So we see that here. Even though the constitution of the US, talking of this evolution thing, though the US constitution says that, and I quote, the First Amendment requires that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. See? Yet, Satan's wicked men sitting in those courts, the Supreme Court of those days, maybe today too, are forbidding both Bible reading and prayer in the schools. On the other hand, the teaching of Darwin, Bible denying evolution, and of all other substitutes for the true faith are still permitted in the schools. Can you see? She set us mastermind. Praise God, you know. So that's what's happening because the Antichrist is near to manifest and so like that, you know. Many people, even the clergy, have overlooked the ominous significance of the Supreme Court decision to strike out prayer in the schools. You know what? Those brief prayers, I know even back in my old days, even though in my village, there are only two schools, yeah. They were owned by mission, Methodist and then the Catholic, right? Every morning we had to pray every morning, right? Read the Bible, we memorize the Bible. I learned Psalm 23 from primary school. You see, the Lord is my shepherd, you know, that kind of thing, you know. So, you know. Anyway, why the devil did this to the schools is this. That little prayer this children was saying in the school is only the thing they have, especially those who came from non-Christian families. That is the only connection they have with God, those little prayers in the Bible. And Satan, through the people and so on, so-called judges, took it out and hindered the little children of this last day, of this blessing, you know. So, and you know what? All these lawyers, the Lord has a word for them. In Luke, as I finish here, Luke 11:52, the Lord said this, woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. They hinder the children of this generation from that Bible and prayer in the school. They won't go in there themselves. And God has a word for them, you know. See, woe unto them. See, the Bible says, well, talking about the key of knowledge, what can it be but the word of God, amen, that they took away from the schools? So the key of knowledge is, of course, the Bible. Those lawyers who sat down in that Supreme Court and say, Bible should not be read in the school again, and prayer, having not themselves entered into the truth of the greatest book in the world, the Bible, right, have now actually hindered the children and young people that would have benefited by teaching in our schools and colleges, you know. So this thing will revive in such a way, as never before, as we now the Antichrist showing himself. Now, the nation is becoming rapidly secularized right now. It is moving toward that hour of the great tribulation, which we talk about next time when the first 3.5 passes. Then it shows its true color, right? Then begin the great tribulation. Now, next time when we come together by God's grace, you know. Now, the good part is this. At the same time of this apostasy, an opposite trend will come among true believers. What is that? There will be a deepening of personal experience. The anticipation that the Lord Jesus is coming, or is coming, is at hand, will result in a great consecration of the true believer. Amen. That is what this thing is about to do for us. Great consecration. There will be a mighty outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh, as the Bible declared in many places. And I will read one of them in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy by God's grace. The one they took the Bible from in the school, they can't stop with God's people, right? They will prophesy. No, I'm talking about, you know. And their daughters will prophesy. The young men shall dream dreams. And young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. No matter what they have done. See? This thing will come to pass, right? In the household of God's people at this end of the age. This revival will continue to spread to hungry hearts in all denominations, Protestant and Catholic alike. Don't forget, God has children in all of these courts, I will call them, you know, and God will put them out, you know. Maybe it is the last of the later rain which ripens the harvest. This revival should be the last of the later rain which ripens the harvest. It will be the greatest revival of all time and the final one too. See? From all groups and denominations, we assemble the army of the Lord, an army filled with the Spirit. It is the true Philadelphia church to which or to whom Christ gave the promise, one of our favorite scriptures here, Revelation 3:10. Because now I've kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, see, upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, the Lord said, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Praise the Lord. So it is the summary of the 40 and a half years. As they begin to enter the second phase, the church is gone in the mighty outpouring, apostasy, and the Bible going hard in hard, right? So, as the Bible shows it here, so therefore, our consecration, we hear these things because we want to be on our knees all the time and put our debt out for the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a great love you have for us, Lord. Bible says, oh Lord God, the kingdom of God is imperishable to the world. And to the world, we are just by the sideways. But to us, by the grace of God, Lord, you speak to us face to face, mouth to mouth. So we thank you tonight, all your people, Lord, and what you have done for us in this generation, giving us understanding of the time, not to make the same mistake that Israel made, not even understanding or know the day of their visitation. But Lord, we thank you. A seed shall serve you, yourself shall be accounted for you for a generation. So we know that it is still a generation at the door. Lord, we know that we welcome the Lord Jesus, Lord, watching and waiting. So we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that as we are encouraged here tonight, that we hold and let no man steal our crown in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hope, Father, which we have, it's always in the minority. The days of Noah was in the minority, where only 8 souls survived the flood. How many of them came out of Sodom and Gomorrah? See? Always like that. And the Lord even said, as it was in the days of Noah, and in the days of Lot, so shall it be the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord. Our prayer is this. You gave us the secret, the key of escape. Worship therefore and pray always. That we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Never to sorrow, in our patience, possessing our souls. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. For the husband man that waited patiently for the precious fruit of the earth, until he received the early and the later rain. Be ye therefore also patient, established that for the coming of the Lord, dress nigh. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, Lord. Let the message resonate in the heart of all the dead around the world like never before, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I will just take it from where we we just stop in the prayer meeting, I mean the prayer session right now. Let us just